Oh, it is a Monday after another Jaguars loss yesterday at home to the Miami Dolphins. I'll apologize before we even really get rolling. Obviously, I wasn't in on Friday, a little under the weather, and it's still affecting me a little bit.
You're going to make it.
I can't tell. Is my voice more manly or less manly today? I can't tell. And should I be asking John?
We're probably grading on a curve. It's already pretty manly. I think you're in good shape.
That, of course, is the voice of Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher. He joins us on Mondays here on Jaguars Today. Mike is out today handling some personal business. He'll be back with us tomorrow before we go through a week before we go to Cincinnati, and then they'll all be gone for a week. Everyone's
leaving. So he'll be back for Lagerman.
That's
right. No coincidence there.
No coincidence at all. And then everyone's going to leave me alone for a week while they go to London and have a good time, and I'm stuck here. And the 9:30 a.m. kick, I thought it was a success for the NFL. I was thinking about it from a personal perspective, though, since we do a three-hour pregame. I don't know how much I'm looking forward to a potential 6:30 let's get started pregame here locally if they do play one of those games over there overseas.
Yeah, it's interesting. Having been over there last year, the 5 o'clock start, I think it is, or I forget exactly what time we started last year. It makes for a weird day over there because there's sort of a build-up and there's such an event feel to it. It does feel, from a team perspective, like that day sort of lingers forever until you're playing, and then it's a regular season game. You know, it's an odd feel, so I think the regular start, I think the people involved would like it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't know enough about the process behind that decision and why the NFL did what they did yesterday. But it seemed cool, so I'd be surprised if they don't do it in the future.
Sure. It was fun to watch in here while I was doing the pregame show to be able to watch a live NFL game going on, especially the drama of that one.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good game, which I think helps the NFL as well, because even on the West Coast, maybe you were waking up to watch the fourth quarter of that game, which was worthwhile. Maybe they're not getting up at 6:30 to watch it, but if they're up at 9, then they're still seeing the end of that game and getting ready for their regular NFL Sundays. Obviously, a ton to get into regarding the Jacksonville Jaguars and what happened yesterday here at the bank with the Miami Dolphins. The conversation is going to start, as it always does, with the quarterback position. And Blake Bortles, really, for the second week in a row, was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, the defense got a couple of turnovers late. They had the fumbled punt against Cleveland and then the pick by Telvin Smith to set them up basically on the goal line and pull ahead and get away from that Cleveland team. They didn't get those yesterday.
Right.
Instead, those turnovers clearly went the other way in the game yesterday with two pick sixes by Blake Bortles, and a lot of fans upset watching that game because it felt, and I agree with them, John, everything else was good enough to win except for Blake Bortles yesterday.
Well, and there's so much to get into. The other factor, and you sort of mentioned it, last week they struggled throughout the first half, and then he had the one drive, and Allen Robinson made the big play, got the touchdown, and got him back even. And yesterday they couldn't quite get that touchdown to get him back even. And when you're even with a young offense, it's just such a different feel than when you're not. All of a sudden you're playing in different scenarios offensively and defensively.
Sure.
It's easier for the defense, as well as the defense was playing. If the defense could have gotten ahead by three or gotten the Dolphins into a point where they had to do something that was uncomfortable, which is what happened late last week, and it's why the Jaguars got the turnovers. The Jaguars could never get a foothold yesterday to put the Dolphins in a situation where they had to do things they didn't want to do and get the mistake and get ahead. The Dolphins always played with that lead, so they never had to get uncomfortable. And that greatly increases the chance of getting turnovers in big plays is when the other team is uncomfortable.
And again, symptoms of a young team. They had opportunities in that first quarter yesterday to create pressure on Miami. They had to throw into the end zone to Allen Robinson, and whether he jumped early or lost the ball in the sun, who knows what happened.
Right.
But it was an opportunity to make a play. Not the easiest of plays, but it didn't happen.
Sure.
But if you make that play, you're up 7-0. If you don't get a field goal blocked, you're up 10-0 at that point. And
there
now
been
it's
pressure,
downhill for Miami.
Based on how the Jaguars played, from anybody watching it, if you hadn't known the score, if there had been no score, you would have felt like the Jaguars are dominating the game. They were clearly controlling the game, had more yards, all that stuff in the first half. So you should have had more of a feeling of pressure on Miami by the end of the first half. Instead, they're leading, which they're sort of thinking, hey, with this young offense we're playing, we're not going to be in danger of this team rattling off a bunch of points, so they could play differently. But, you know, all that aside, the good news for the Jaguars off that game was this very, very young offense is not stuck in the mud, meaning they're not getting three and outs. They're not struggling to get anything going. They're moving the ball up and down the field, which is the first step. Now, the important step is scoring points once you're there, but that's the tough part, and that's where the experience part comes in, and that's where learning what guys do well in the red zone, having things you can depend on, knowing exactly what Allen Robinson does well, with Blake knowing where he's going to be exactly on a pattern instead of sort of still having to figure it out as you go along. That's what experience and continuity bring. That's what this offense doesn't have yet.
Yeah, and it's a perspective thing for the fans, and I get fans out there that are frustrated. They see 1-7 and don't want to see anything else. And there are other fans who are looking at it and saying, look, we got the running game going. The defense has played really well for a month. If we could just get a young quarterback back to where he was playing just his first couple of games and trying to figure out what's going wrong for Blake Bortles right now. We'll obviously talk about that today on the show. The fan feedback spotlight today, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships asked Jaguar fans, what drives you? Today in the Tom Bush fan feedback spotlight, we ask via Twitter, how full or empty is your glass after the Jags 1-7 start to the season? We've already gotten some really good answers from the fans out there. You can interact with us in the show at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, and at Osher. What is the Twitter handle for you, John?
John Osher.
John Osher. Simple enough.
J-O-H-N-O-H-S-E-R.
Because simple enough.
I'm nothing if not creative. So I went with that.
All right. We got a lot to get into today with now a 1-7 Jacksonville Jaguars team after a week of happy, once again brought back down to the reality of the issues that still face this Jacksonville Jaguars team, a very young one at that. We'll continue. I'm Fat Tony. Mike Dempsey will rejoin us tomorrow. John Osher alongside here on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on Jaguars Today. All right, I'm Fat Tony, along with John Osher here on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today. They are North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers, semi-auto pistols, rifles, shotguns, and sporting arms. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. Trade your gold for guns. Gunsforjacks.com or 1233 South Lane Avenue in Jacksonville, 32205. You can call them at 693-0777. And the music you heard there was Chicago Make Me Smile. So Lauren's either saying that she wants something to make her smile today, or at least the Bears are terrible too right now. Is that it?
Not exactly, but you're close. Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I thought I was enough to make you smile, Lauren.
You are. But you know what, John?
Maybe that's the theme.
We didn't see each other yesterday before the game, so I'm thinking that when we see each other and we won... Yeah, but, I mean, we didn't hug, I should say.
Oh, okay, I got it.
I had to flag you down when you were walking
I saw that.
Near me. I said, hey, was that your son with you?
Yes, it was.
Did he have fun?
Yes, it was. Yeah, sure, why not? yes, he did.
Good. Happy to hear that. But, yeah, no, you're close, Tony. Not exactly.
Okay, well, I'll get more hints as the show goes on today. As we get through a post-game Monday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM and Jaguars Today. And we'll get to the phone lines here in just a couple of minutes, 641-1010, if you want to call and talk to the show about what happened yesterday or what's happened over the first half of the season. They are at the halfway pole now, 1-7 on the year after 0-8 last year. I guess you could look at it and say it's improved if you want to. But something we were talking about a few moments ago, John, and I actually came up with a term for it. At this point,
I want to hear that term, Tony. Tell me that term.
Look, the Jags, I feel like with Blake Bortles, have been pretty good in the red zone. Mm. Not great, but pretty good in the red zone. The issue for me is that area between the 50 and the opponent's 20.
Yep.
And I have started calling it the dead zone for this offense right now because all their drives. I mean, I know a lot of people are not happy about what the offense is doing, but they get the ball. They move 30 yards like clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every single time they get the ball, it feels like they can move the ball 30, 40 yards, and then they get to the opponent's 30 or 40-yard line, and it just dies. Whether it's because of a turnover or the field goals that they're having to settle for or getting blocked, or they take a sack on third down, which winds up resulting in a punt on that drive and what should have been at least a field goal opportunity. They have got to figure out what is going on with this offense, that it can move 30 yards but can't find a way to get that last 25 or 30.
Yeah, and as you were sitting here saying that, I said, boy, I hope he doesn't ask me why that's happening. Because because it's one of those things, if I knew, I probably wouldn't be in this meeting room. I'd probably be in that meeting room down there. Because it's an issue. I mean, yesterday, the first five drives, I believe they got inside the Dolphins 40 on all five of them, if I'm remembering right. They were certainly in Dolphins territory on all five.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you had asked me before the season, or even early in the season, would the Jaguars have a game where they moved that consistently early against a pretty good Dolphins defense, I would have said no. I'm surprised that they're having that level of efficiency with third downs, with doing some things good early. I mean, I think this is ahead in that respect of where they thought they would be. But, again, like you say, they all through the locker room yesterday, anybody you talked to on offense, they weren't talking about Blake's interceptions. They were talking about finishing and taking advantage of those opportunities. And, you know, I don't know that there is a common thread that runs through it.
No, and it's difficult to figure out exactly what's going on. I know I felt like there were lessons to be learned from the pick that he threw on the 3rd and 13 a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You know, when they had an opportunity to get a field goal and keep them in that game against Pittsburgh, and instead they threw the pick. You know, those kind of things happen from time to time, especially with young quarterback, young receivers. Everything's very young. And for the fans out there that every time they hear one of us say that, just roll their eyes like, oh my gosh, when are they going to get over this young thing? Well, it is what it is. And if you want to hold, you know, Caldwell and Bradley responsible for that being the decision they made, that they decided to go that young, that's fine.
They would take that. That's
right.
Fine.
That's your prerogative. But understand that that's why a lot of the growing pains you're seeing happen on offense are happening.
Somebody asked me, when can we stop this quote-unquote rookie quarterback talk? And my response was, well, maybe when he's not a rookie.
Right.
I mean, and that's what this is. This is the fifth game. This is not the 50th game of this kid's career. So the things you're seeing with the throwing back across the body, some of the things that you think, oh my goodness, why did he do that? Well, as much as you don't want to hear about the rookie thing has a lot to do with that. And Gus Bradley's not an excuse guy in his post-game press conferences. You know, he'll generally, if he's seeing something, he'll generally say, yeah, that's what's going on. I thought one of the most telling quotes yesterday was when he said, you know, and part of it is, it was at the end of a quote, and he said, and part of it is he's learning the speed of the game. And you know what? Yeah, that is. That's the process. You know, you make a play like you did in Cleveland last week when you know in your heart after the play he was jogging off after that red zone interception saying, I shouldn't have thrown that. But he did because it's faster than anything he's experienced before.
Sure.
Never seen that under that pace, and that's the play that gets made. And you're also dealing with a group of receivers around him where you don't have a rock-solid go-to number one guy with 7 or 8 years' experience that they know exactly where he's going to be. He doesn't have that go-to safety net. It'd be nice if he did, but he doesn't have that. So it's everybody learning on every play.
Yeah, and you hope that soon he gets to the point where he's not having to go through those kind of things anymore. Like right now he still is, and clearly the last 2 weeks that's been part of the problem for this team. They overcame it 2 weeks ago. Yesterday they weren't able to against Miami. Blake is going to make mistakes from time to time. I told you during the break just a moment ago, I was fooled on the first pick, too.
Right.
I was up in the
and
booth.
And you were fooled. I mean,
I mean,
gracious.
I had the overhead view, and I was like, throw it to that guy.
Right.
And as soon as he let it go, I was like, oh, no, the safety's there.
Right.
You know, and the other guy came over and made a play on the ball. I thought that was just a really good play by a defender. The second one, they have a tendency down there when they're backed up against their own goal line to try one of those double moves on an early down, and I really felt like Brent Grimes was just kind of sitting on it waiting to see if that's what he was going to get, because that's what they've run every time they've been in that situation. Now, is that on Fish? Who is that on? I don't know. In the end, it's a pick six, so everyone's got to take some responsibility for it. Maybe the ball is not thrown to the right place, whatever. It's two pick sixes in that game yesterday. It's frustrating because that felt like a game they could have won.
Sure.
Even without, just take out the two picks and maybe they win that game yesterday.
Well, and it was, again, it was such a, I don't say unusual, but when you're watching that game in the first half, you were thinking to yourself, boy, this team's playing without Alan Ball, Paul Posluszny, Alan Branch, three guys who they depend on, and they are dominating defensively, and it was real. It was again, a fourth consecutive game of a really good defense, and you saw some things early that you started to like offensively. They're converting third downs early in drives. They're getting into scoring range. And all of a sudden, late in the second half, you're like, I mean, late in the first half, you're thinking, you know, even with the mistakes, they're hanging with this team. So many good things, and yet that's the importance of the quarterback position. A couple of bad plays can negate a whole lot of other good things, which is why Blake came out after the game and said, you know, I'm killing this. He gets it. He knows you can't do it. He's not oblivious to it. I also don't think there's any reason for him to just sit around and just beat himself up over it. He's got to move on. He's got to get better with it.
No, and look, we've seen it inside of games this year. Look, I don't think you have to worry about his confidence being shaken too much. I mean, despite the fact that he had thrown two pick sixes in the game, he's still the guy who threw a 48-yard touchdown pass right in the fourth quarter. I mean, his confidence inside of games doesn't appear to be shaken.
There were a couple of plays, I thought, where it looked like on certain plays when he was rolling out that he was thinking about it, of, okay, do I do this here? Do I do this here? And I think that's a process that he's got to work through. But what the Jaguars don't want him to do is to be out there playing, worried about, you know, the interception, worried about what's going to happen. If he's got to get through it and still play with confidence and poise. I haven't seen anything that makes me think he won't do that. An interesting analogy. I remember last year in the second half of the season talking to Jonathan Siprin when he started to sort of come on.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't play well the first eight games, and he knew it. And he said there was a point during the bye, after they got back from London, where he just sort of said, you know what, I'm good enough to play here. Started playing a little looser, took a couple of days, and when he came back, he was sort of a different player. Well, you know, you sort of get the idea that that process might still have to happen with Blake. Well, we all knew it was happening with Siprin last year, but it wasn't an everyday topic on every radio show because he was playing safety, not quarterback.
Right.
So that's the process that these young guys have to go through. Blake is doing it at the quarterback position, which means we're going to talk about it every Monday.
No, we are. And look, it's the nature of the position.
Sure.
However he plays. Yeah.
Right. I mean, my point is, every player sort of goes through it, and it's just not, you know, it's the nature of the quarterback position that we're all talking about every
week. Sure. And he's the same guy who last week, when everyone wanted to talk to him on Monday after the first win, was like, why does everyone want to talk to me? I was bad.
Right. Yeah.
He gets it. I don't know that he
remember
loves...
the rioting at the gates in September?
Oh, I know.
Start Blake Bortles?
Oh,
I was
start Blake
by a
Bortles?
Rock.
Remember the booing when they drafted him? I mean, it's the roller coaster
the
with that position
it.
Is just crazy. Let's get out to the phone lines right now. First up at 641-1010 is Daryl here on a Monday on Jaguars Today. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, what's up, man? Let me tell you something. The Jaguars are improving to me. I just feel like they need a tight end. And I'm going to tell you from a Dolphin perspective, it was kind of insult how they were saying, oh, the Jaguars just beat the Dolphins. They got a good team. They're not no pushover. But the thing I was saying, I kind of blame the play calling because on the first quarter, me and my boys, we were looking at the game. I was like, oh, wow, they're trying to – all the plays they're running wasn't going to work against Miami. You got to understand, we draft every year to play the Patriots. So all the underneath stuff is not going to work. You got to throw the ball out. Every time the Jaguars got yards, they threw the ball down the field against Miami. You're not going to – it was just, to me, it was just a play calling. Blake is not bad as people making it, you know, styles make fights like boxing. And it was just the play calling. But they're good. Jack, let me tell you something. I'd rather start over and become a Super Bowl team and then be 8-8 every year. I'm telling you, Jaguars going in the right direction, man. People just don't see what I see, but they're going to be all right, man. I got a good
all
show.
Right. Appreciate the call, Daryl. A Fence fan calling to console you, Jacksonville. Look, I think that the point is taken. They're obviously going to address tight end at some point in the next year or two. It's something that they're going to have to do. I would say that I don't have a big problem with the play calling in that game, especially early yesterday, because, again, we were just talking about they moved the ball.
Right.
They just bogged down in the same area of the field every week right now.
Well, and if you watch a lot of NFL games, you always get a bad feeling if a team moves the ball early and doesn't get points, because you sort of know that at some point with normal NFL games, the tide shifts, the other team starts moving the ball, gets some points. So you had a bad feeling when they, it was 10-3 at halftime, and late in the first half, they, it was something like 250 to 50 total yards. That's not exact, but it was close to that. Usually that doesn't hold. So you sort of knew that was a trouble spot, obviously, because this offense hadn't shown that it was all of a sudden going to explode for 21 points. So, you know, again, I don't know that there's that much to dissect on a lot of levels, except that this was a game where when you have two pick sixes go the other way, when you have three turnovers on offense, the other one is you're going in. When you leave that many points on the board, it's hard to overcome it, no matter what team you are.
Sure. And for a young team, they're just not going to. That's not something they're going to overcome at this point in their development. And again,
for a veteran team to overcome that would have been an incredible story.
Sure.
If you give up that much, that's not just a turnover ratio. That's all of a sudden giving up easy points the other
way. Absolutely.
You're not letting your defense live to fight another day. I mean, it's everything you talk about. It's a formula for losing 27-13.
We're going to get to more of your calls at 641-1010. So hang on the line if you're with us. We're also going to get to, believe it or not, the positives of yesterday's game. We don't have to talk all about the quarterback for 2 hours. We'll get into some of the other things that are happening, that are working for this football team right now, maybe despite what you thought would work going into that game against Miami, especially on that defensive side of the ball. My goodness, were they good throughout most of that game yesterday. We'll get to that as we continue on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Little Huey Lewis there.
Walking.
You believe in love. No, go ahead, sing it. Sing it, Johnny O.
Huey Lewis. MTV staple in my era.
When I think John Osher, I think Huey Lewis.
Yeah, who doesn't?
He was out at the World Series in San Francisco a couple nights ago.
Sure.
I'm not sure what the theme is. Is it regarding...
Do you believe in love, right?
Yeah. Is it regarding the question today, Lauren?
Yes. I knew you'd get it.
The glass is half full for you?
Absolutely. The team's making me smile. They're making some pretty good improvements along the offensive line, running game like we've talked about. I believe.
She's a believer, Joe.
Oh, I believe.
Yeah. I believe.
She believes in love. Okay.
She's still a believer.
I didn't say I believe in love. I just said I believe in the team.
All right.
You got to pick the songs to fit that theme.
That's right.
That's right. So the question of the day today is your glass half full or half empty? Or how empty or full is your glass after a 1-7 start for this Jacksonville Jaguar team? At 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, at John Osher on Twitter. And we will get to some of your responses a little bit later on in the program. We may even pick someone to win a free T-shirt a little bit later on.
Everybody loves
well.
Free T-shirts.
Everyone loves free T-shirts. I've seen fights. I've seen fist fights over free T-shirts.
And they're probably never wear again.
That's crazy.
They got to have it right then.
That T-shirt, it costs $1 to make,
right,
baby. Let's fist fight because it's free to me. We were talking a moment ago about some of the positives coming out of this game. We've talked a lot about the quarterback and Blake Bortles and some of the problems that this offense is having right now, which they revolve around what is going on with Blake and his learning process.
Right.
But while all that is going on, Denard Robinson, back-to-back 100-yard rushing games for this team. Toby Gerhart returned yesterday, and Denard basically made another statement this week that, look, this is his job right now for at least the foreseeable future at that spot.
Yeah, and, you know, I've said it over and over again. I was skeptical. I thought that Denard, if he was going to make an impact on this team, was going to be a big play guy. I didn't think he would ever carry more than about 7 or 8 carries a game, and you know, God bless him, prove me wrong, you know, he can carry it 18 22 times and runs a lot harder than I anticipated him running. I mean, he is looks more natural at running back than you expected for a guy who played quarterback in college. And, you know, a lot of credit. Can he do it for 16 games, 22, 25 carries a game?
Right.
I don't know, but I also don't know that he'll have to. You know, I think what he's given him right now is impressive. And what's really impressive is he still hasn't, I mean, he broke one yesterday, but he still hasn't had that one where he can sort of get outside the defense and find that complete gear. You got to think that's coming. So his production level is impressive. Anybody who reads me knows I did not think he would be this kind of a back.
No, and it's how effective he's been between the tackles for this team.
Yeah.
Is probably the biggest surprise with Denard and what they were missing in the run game. I mean, we talk about it throughout the week that these guys, if you're going to run that stretch play, then mm-hmm. sometimes you hit the cut is to the backside of that play, and nobody was getting there.
Right.
Nobody was getting there. And for the last 2 weeks, Denard has. And there were a couple times during the game yesterday where they're running that little pitch play to him. I can remember one specifically where his speed and athleticism
got him
8 yards.
Yep.
Because he outran the guy that was in good position on that play to the corner just using his athletic gifts. And that's not something that the Jaguars have seen in that backfield for a while. I mean, even with Mojo last year, that wasn't there for this offense. Denard is giving them an element that Jed Fish really hasn't had since he got here.
Right, and again, I think a lot of it is teams are respecting the pass and Blake Bortles enough to open some things up for the running game. And when that happens in the NFL, teams have to be able to take advantage of it, and the Jaguars have. So, you know, is it changing a little bit once the Jaguars get into the other side of the 50, our defense is taking a little bit away from them? That could be happening. I think a lot of it at the quarterback position is they are clearly showing some coverages and some things at Blake that he's got to get figured out. And I think that also hurts him as they get closer to the end zone. But in reference to the running game, if they can do what they've been doing, then clearly the running game's okay. It's now on the passing game to get back to taking advantage of the situations that the better running game can give them.
Yeah, and I keep waiting on the gadget plays. I know he has them. I know got them.
Don't call them gadget plays around Spurrier Fish. They're just ball plays.
That's right. I know he has them, and usually last year they'd get that run game going within a game, and that's when, bam, he'd hit you with one of those.
I mean, the fake reverse early. I mean, I didn't think it was an uncreative offensive game yesterday. I mean, when the quarterback is struggling, it can be tough to get overly creative because you want to make sure that you're running things that work.
Sure. And I know I can remember one play call yesterday, and I know a lot of people, whenever the Jags lose, the biggest complaint we hear is the play calling. It just is. But I can remember one specific play yesterday where it wound up in a sack, but they basically played max protect. They had two guys in the route. The Jags did. Miami had one safety over the top, and they had man coverage on the two guys on the outside. It was Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson. And Blake got sacked when he hit his back foot, but they were both running nines. I mean, the play was going to be, I'm throwing this ball to the end zone and see if my guy can make a play based on he was going to make the safety make a decision, and then he was going to throw the ball to the other side of the field. And I saw it before the play even started. And then they just couldn't protect it up front long enough for him to even have a chance on that kind of play.
And again, that's sort of what you sometimes run into when you've got an offense that's still this young. You're not, you know, every offense runs into that where the play just doesn't work or where there's a break in protection. When you're this young, you have more plays where that happens than when you get more experience. So people are going to tire of hearing us talk about the youth on offense all year, but it is going to remain a factor until these guys get experience, until they get more seasoning, and the only way to do it is to play.
Yep. 641
5 games is still just 5 games.
It is. 641-1010. Let's get out to the phone lines. Let's welcome in Andy up next on the program. What's up, Andy?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
I just wanted to touch on some of the positives. Like, I've seen a defense yesterday, or the last 2 weeks, play as good as any defense in the NFL. And from Gus Bradley's standpoint, a defensive coach, that's what a rebuild should look like, you know. We need to be patient, and I think Bortles, if he gets his mind right and his footwork, I think is a problem. I think we can be, with another draft, a team to reckon with next year.
All right, Andy, appreciate the call.
Well, and
yeah, we didn't hear anything about footwork and Blake Bortles in the offseason. No. It wasn't like he wasn't just working on that exclusively during the offseason. I mean, there are reasons that I think the team decided not to throw Blake in immediately, and you're seeing some of that show up on the field right now. Now, it's worth the growing pains to me to not have to do this in 2015, to do all this right now. And while the results aren't what you want them to be, and while it's frustrating that the defense, as Andy pointed out, is playing really well, the defense has been good enough the last 4 weeks that this team could be 4-0. In the last four weeks. They've been good enough. The offense hasn't held up its end of the bargain, and that's because there's a little more age and wisdom on that defensive side of the ball, and it's finally coming together over there. It's frustrating from a fan perspective that they could be 4-0 in the last 4 weeks, and the offense has been bad enough that they could only win one of those games.
I still go back to what you sort of thought this team would be this year. And the first two or three games, it was not what I or a lot of people who cover the team thought it was going to be. In the last four or five games, it has been. It's been a defense that has kept the team in games, has played well, and it's been an offense that, especially once you put the rookie quarterback in, is, by their choice, strikingly young. And over the last couple of weeks, you see him sort of finding parts. You see him finding some things that work. I think anybody watching the games would think that Allen Robinson has a good chance to be a productive player for the foreseeable future. The offensive line, blocking better, certainly an improvement from the first two or three weeks of the season on the offensive line. And so, again, it goes back to everybody could see it yesterday. The quarterback struggled, and that's where we're at in this guy's development.
Yeah, and I'm curious this week with them going back on the road to see if that may help Blake a little bit. He looked really good in that game against San Diego on the road, and maybe he was a little more relaxed with it not being in front of the home crowd. And look, I don't know.
Sure.
It certainly is something that's been a factor before with young quarterbacks. Maybe it helps them relax to be on the road, gives them one less thing to worry about. Mike is up next at 641-1010. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I'm definitely a glass half full guy. This is the first loss in a couple of years where I've really felt like we're headed in the right direction with a loss. I mean, it wasn't because the defense was playing really bad or because the offense was playing really bad. It pretty much strictly came down to turnovers, and that is a real fixable problem. I mean, as far as the two pick sixes go, you know, he's a rookie quarterback. I mean, the guy, if he hadn't come out early, he'd still be in college this year. You know, we go, like you guys have said over and over, our offense is, I mean, it's a whole bunch of rookies, basically. I mean, in Denard, he's a second-year guy, but he's learning a whole new position. And obviously, we've had some really bright spots out of him the last couple of weeks. But I really think we're heading in the right direction with this team, and I still think we'll get two or three more wins this year, and I really think next year we'll be contending for the division.
All right. Appreciate the call, Mike.
Yeah, and that plays into something we've talked about, Tony. Last year, they were very, very deficient in a lot of areas. And some of the results were not what I would call normal NFL struggling. This year, the last four or five games are what I would call normal NFL struggling. And certainly with areas where if people are watching it would say, hey, this is better than it was, you know, 52 weeks ago. This is better than it was four or five games ago. So, you know, is 1-7 good? No. Are two interceptions going the other way good? No. 27-13 losses aren't good. But if you're looking for things that can be built upon, and if you're looking for areas where you say, where is this franchise better than it was X games ago? You know, I get that people want to criticize everything when you're 1-7, and there's a lot to be criticized, but there are also things that are clearly improved from where they were even a short time ago.
No, the defense is better than it was really at any point last year.
The defense is better than anybody would have possibly expected coming out of San Diego.
Yeah, and
couldn't foresee that.
The run game is finally here. That's 2 weeks in a row. I don't remember the last time they had 2 weeks in a row where they were able to run the ball that well.
This is a team that was getting 2.1 a carry.
Yeah, 2011.
Here we go, Lauren.
Thank you. That was when we had, what, the leading rusher in the NFL in the backfield that year with Maurice Jones-Drew. I mean,
and even then, it wasn't putting up 180 back-to-back. I mean, there were weeks that year where it was 111. It was grind-out stuff that year. It was good, don't get me wrong, but it was grind-out.
And they got a defense right now. Look, how many years have we talked about how bad the defense has been in Jacksonville, and then we'll point to that sack number and be like, they're sacking the quarterback 20 times in a year. In a year. They're sacking the quarterback 20 times in 7 games, guys. I mean, look, the difference between where this team was and where it is, there are big steps being taken. Now, at the same time, you're watching the headaches of a young team trying to figure out how to finish drives and, consequently, how to win games. And the San Diego game a month ago, to me, was about you ran into one of the most efficient offenses in the league. And it didn't matter how good your defense is. They were going to tear up a lot of teams. Right.